In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please sit. Today is Low Sunday. It's the first Sunday after Easter. And I suppose we're all feeling a little low. The excuse to eat excessive amounts of chocolate, like I need an excuse, but that excuse is past. The party that was the celebration of Jesus risen is over, and now we are effectively in the hangover period, a little churched out perhaps. However, Low Sunday isn't called Low Sunday because of our self-induced hangovers, but because it closes the octave of Easter. It's the 8-day period from Easter Sunday until today. It's also called St. Thomas Sunday. And this Sunday, the reading is always John 20. And it relates to the appearance of Christ to his disciples, and then a week later to his disciples, and this time with the missing Thomas. Now, I'm sure you've all heard of St. Thomas. He's otherwise known as Doubting Thomas. It's hardly a great nickname to have. Thomas is also referred to as Didymus, which means twin. And although the name Thomas is actually a very ancient name, and not as English as it may sound, we're not really sure that actually was his name. In fact, we know very little about St. Thomas. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he is only mentioned when they are listing the names of the disciples. And in John, he only appears 3 times. Now, what we do think we know about St. Thomas is that he travelled to India and spread the gospel there. And for many centuries, the Christians of Kerala have called themselves St. Thomas Christians. Now, the information that he went there, and indeed that he was martyred there, is contained in a long document called the Acts of Thomas. That was written in the 3rd or 4th century. And it's a terrific read. It's part of the apocryphal writings. They're the bits that didn't make it into the Bible. And if you've not read the Acts of Thomas, I do encourage you to dig it out. However, the Acts of Thomas is considered to be more popular romance than a historical document. It was probably written in the interests of teaching rather than as an accurate record of his life. Now, it's certainly not impossible that St. Thomas went to India and that he also evangelized Partha. It's thought his final resting place, or at least where his relics are claimed to be, is in Edessa. And that's in current-day Turkey, but dangerously close to the Syrian border. But for the moment, let us stick with a Thomas that we know from John, and in particular from today's reading. Now, we first meet Thomas in John in chapter 11. Let us also go, that we may die with him. And that's Thomas referring to the death of Lazarus, a good friend of Jesus. And Jesus wanted to go to him, but the other disciples feared that it was too dangerous. It was not a good thing for Jesus to go, because he may be attacked. But here is Thomas, at the vanguard and ready to go with his teacher to his friend and to share his fate, even if that means death. More loyal Thomas, I would suggest, than doubting Thomas. He would rather face death with his Lord than to live without him. Next, we meet him in John 14. Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Now, this time, Thomas is asking the question the other disciples don't. Jesus is telling them in this chapter that they shouldn't be troubled, because Jesus already knows what is coming. But they should have faith and believe in God, because his house, there are many dwelling places, and if he were to leave them, then they would know how to follow. Not now, but later. Now, you can see the other disciples sitting around the table. I'm sure we've all been at meetings where somebody has said something deep and meaningful, and we've all been nodding our heads sagely. Oh, yes, absolutely. But actually, Thomas was the one who said, hang on a moment. What on earth do you mean? How can we know the way? You've not told us the way. Now, Thomas was confusing what Jesus was saying with an actual place. And that question that Thomas raised to Jesus, leads to one of the most well-known and most loved verses in the Bible. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Doubting Thomas? No, more like honest Thomas. The Thomas who won't sit there and nod sagely, but will ask the questions that need to be asked. We meet Thomas for the final time in today's reading, in John 20. And sadly, this is where he gets his nickname from, Doubting Thomas. Thomas was not willing to believe that Jesus was risen because he had not seen him. The previous two times we've met Thomas, he's demonstrated that he is not fearful and doubting, but loyal and honest. We don't know where Thomas was the previous Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday. We're not told. But you can easily see that he must have been distraught. This loyal and honest man, this man who was willing to share death with his teacher, had been told that his teacher was dead. His world had been shattered. Perhaps he wasn't there because his heart was broken. So now, a week later, he's being told of the resurrection of Jesus. He's being told about the presence of the Lord, the power of the Lord, the peace of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, the promotions of the Lord, and the provisions of the Lord. All of those things happened on the previous Sunday. All of those things happened on the day Jesus revealed himself to the other disciples. Now that's an awful lot to have missed. And it's not something that is easily told. I think it's probably something you have to see for yourself. It's easy to see why he responded the way he did. I do not believe you. He had not placed his fingers in the mark of the nails, and he had not placed his hands on Jesus' side where the spear had torn into his flesh. So imagine this loyal and honest apostle, this man who had been told that his teacher was dead, now being told that he was alive. Now, Thomas really was low. This was the ultimate low Sunday. Why should he believe? Why should he just take their word? And so one last time, Jesus replies to Thomas. Once again, Jesus is there to hold the hand of this loyal, honest, and questioning follower. Jesus appears to the disciples, coming through the locked doors and saying to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And guess what? Thomas does believe. My Lord and my God. So doubting Thomas? No. More faithful and questioning Thomas. The story of Thomas is one that I wish more Christians held on to. It's a story of a man who is not afraid to ask the difficult questions. A man who is not afraid to challenge power. He is a man who does not leave his brain at the door when he encounters Christ. He is a man who embraces his faith and continues to question. It's something the House of Bishops have asked us to do at the coming election. And so as I head to May 7th, perhaps feeling a little low, wondering what possible difference I can make, I will take doubting Thomas's example. I will ask the difficult questions. I will be loyal to my faith, and I will be honest with myself and my Christian values. I'm a little bit in awe of St. Thomas. I think he teaches us an important lesson, and I think he opens the door for us to understand Jesus in a better way. So I'm going to head back to my Bible, and I'm going to reread those three chapters. But this time, not first thinking of Thomas as doubting, but thinking of him as loyal, honest, and faithful. Amen.